I know Clown World is hard to take, but take a deep breath. It's okay. You're at the Parish of the Patriots now. You have found your sanctuary from the insanity here at the sanctuary. If we were still trying to come up with a name for the show, if we hadn't settled already on Parish of the Patriots for however many episodes now, that would be a great thing. The Sanctuary of Sanity. That will be like the by name, like, you know, Parish of the Patriots in parentheses, the Sanctuary of Sanity. You have found a sanctuary from the insanity of Clown World right here. Glad you could join us this week. Folks, it's 128 installments of this show. If you think it's not hard to come up with stuff to talk about for 128 episodes, it's tough, but I am up to the task. And thankfully, you, the listeners, are up for the task for listening, continuing to get something out of it. And speaking of up for the task, it is appreciated. Those of you who are up to the task of paying those tithes, it is very much appreciated. If you wish to financially support the show, you can skip down to the bottom of the description page, which no one reads anyway. And we've got snail mail, we got Bitcoin, we got Monero, we got email address down there, drop your notes down there. And if you've got a weirdo cryptocurrency, drop me an email for that. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. Let's hit this listener supporter mailbag, Mr. T. Always good to hear from Mr. T, one of our weekly supporters, GPD. Dough for the show. Well, thank you very much. Don't you know? Little rhyme there. Got these beats. I'm hitting with the beats. Keeping on going. Grandpa Dan, you were talking recently about people. I'll spit it out here in a minute. But people helping those far away to avoid helping those close at hand. I attended a few churches over the years that took missionary work very seriously. One was, in fact, a missionary alliance church. Something I noticed was that the ones posted to Africa acted like they had won the lottery, while those sent to, say, Russia were obviously disappointed. It was a very weird negrophilia. Don't Russians or French deserve to hear the gospel every bit as much as our black brethren? Anyway, I do enjoy the show, and I get a lot out of it. Keep up the good work, brother. You're very much in my prayers. And that's from Brian, and it is very much appreciated. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember being a kid sitting in the local church, and they had some missionaries come in there to tell all about, and it's always about their work in Africa. It was like virtue signaling back before virtue signaling was a known thing. It's like, well, you're a missionary. Where are you missionary stationed at? I'm a missionary in Russia. Oh, that's nice. What about you? I'm in, you know, Uganda or some shit. You know, I'm in Africa. Oh, wow. You're so heroic. See, you're living in the grass hut. What did you do there? Well, we helped dig a well for them. We helped them carry the boxes of rice sent from the West to feed them because they can't feed themselves. That's nice. What have you done about people that are going hungry here in your own country? Nothing. They don't count. Can't get any points for that. It's a very strange thing. You know, when you hear stories about, like, missionaries that go to Africa, and then you wind up hearing about them, like, getting killed by the Africans? Am I the only one that I just can't really gin up that much sympathy? And as a Christian believer, I guess that's kind of weird, maybe. Maybe I'm, like, supposed to. Am I, like, obligated? Like, when I read a story as a Christian believer, and it's like, these Christian missionaries were in Africa, and they were killed by the latest rebels or whatever in this African country. I don't really feel bad. Kind of like, well, what the hell do you expect? No, what the hell? I live by the virtue signal, die by the virtue signal. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Our final one here. Dear Grandpa, you're a horrible person. You don't even feel bad for the missionaries that went over there to save Africa, and they get killed by the rebels. Just being straight up, being honest, dear Grandpa. Pretty interesting times. So hopefully what's left of our race is seeing what's happening in South Africa, and we'll wake up before South Africa 2.0 comes here. Both a fascinating and scary time to be alive. All the best, Jackie. And, you know, I've said for years, and I'm not the only one. I'm pretending like I'm the only one that said it. I'm not saying that. But I've said for years. Other people have said for years the same thing. South Africa was the beta project. South Africa was the beta project. That was the small scale rollout to see what would happen. Now, you know, that's what they have in store for everybody else. That's the future. the future for everybody. Of course, the difference is in South Africa, the white people were very much outnumbered. You know, the white people there are very much outnumbered, which, I mean, makes it a little, kind of a little bit of a difference. That's why they've been working so hard to import more people. We're going to get you people outnumbered. It's the whole point. There's a lot of talk about, you know, white people become a minority. And there's that famous Joe Biden quote where he says that's going to be a great thing. Well, why is it going to be a great thing, Joe? Because then they'll be overwhelmed. They'll be way outnumbered. It'll be more like South Africa. Can't do the South Africa model if they're not vastly outnumbered. It's one of the key ingredients. The getting totally outnumbered. I don't know. You know, as far as waking people, I've given up. I don't think people are going to wake up. I think, I don't know. I just picture people just marching off the cliff. It's like you had the choice. You could not march off the cliff, but they won't do it because they might get called names if they don't march off the cliffs. They might get socially shamed. They might get ostracized. They might be called a bad person. They don't just keep marching right along and go off the cliff. I was just thinking, our people, wouldn't it be nice if there was a new land our people could go discover and go and discover this new land and settle it and start building a civilization? That's because what we're good at. So what we've historically been good at, exploring, adventuring, find a new land. Too bad we can't go to space. We can find a new planet, start settling. But then I thought about it. I think about the patterns of white people. It wouldn't matter. You'd be like, oh, you settled this new space colony. Congratulations. You know, you've started building a civilization on this planet. You've terraformed it. You're building a space age society. What's the first thing you're going to do? Well, we're going to bring the Frankfurt School in to run our education system and import Africa. Yeah. It's like this pattern. The hell? What the hell is wrong with white people? I don't know. We've got our space colony currency. We need somebody to manage it. Quick, someone find the Jews. We need the Jews to run our space colony currency for us. Set up some banks. We need that. We do it to ourselves. Yep, over and over again. I don't understand it. It drives me crazy. Makes you want to beat your head against the wall. I don't know. But anyway, doesn't really matter, does it? Because there are no lands to discover. Nobody's going to space. Nobody's going to space. Although, we're supposed to be excited. Jeff Bezos launched himself up into the upper atmosphere, lower space. Floated around for however 10 minutes or whatever the hell and come back down. We're supposed to be excited about that. This is presented as like we all share in this. Isn't it nice? Everybody's living check to check. Everybody's scratching by, trying to get by, trying to just do what they can. We know from the numbers, when you figure in inflation, everything, wages are stagnant and going down, have been for some time. They're out of, you know, fooling everybody with papering that over with credit. So now everybody's basically broke, living check to check. I love when they do these stories, by the way, about that. And they say, you know, most people don't have $500 worth of savings to help them out of an emergency. Most people don't have the ability to survive for 2 weeks if they lost their job, if they didn't have an income. And they make it like it's some sort of shaming thing. Like people choose to go out and be wage slave broke ass. Like you're just something wrong with you. What the hell? Why don't people have any money in the bank? They're just wage slaves. What a bunch of losers. Yeah, I'm sure people didn't choose. You know, people aren't choosing to be broke. Living check to check. Something wrong with you. But as you're doing this, as you're living your broke-ass lifestyle as a working-class American, you're supposed to feel excited because this super multi-billionaire is able to build a rocket. Go up in space. See, like you share in that somehow. See, you have a pitiful, disgusting existence. Groveling around down here, living check to check, drinking a few beers, watching your porn. But you share in this larger experience because Jeff Bezos could build a rocket and go up into space. You see, it's not so bad. See, he's doing pretty good. Please clap. See, we're making progress. It would be space tourism. For the multi-billionaires, it's going to be great. It's like they're rubbing it in our faces. It's like they're rubbing it in our faces that all this money has been funneled to these billionaires. And they're rubbing it in our faces and telling us, like, we should be appreciating the fact that Jeff Bezos can build a rocket and launch it up into space while you're driving an old shitty car. And trying to make ends meet, somehow trying to support your family. A little bit of nothing. His shitty job that's left after all these lockdowns. See, all the lockdowns meant he got richer and you got poor. And what little jobs that might have been decent got shut down. But you share in this victory, billionaires in space. It's awesome. It's the future. Meanwhile, yes, just keep working. Take your vax. Get vaccinated from the deadly virus. I saw something amazing, and I brought this up on the Friday installment of Daily Nationalist with Sir Longshanks, but not everybody catches that. I was watching the network news the other morning, and they had a doctor on there, and they were having a very serious discussion about the spike in the deadly cases of the deadly virus. And, you know, of course, they were going on and on about how you need to be vaxxed. And the reason you're not, we're seeing this spike in cases is those of you who are just refusing to take the vax. You got to get the vax. And in the next breath, they sat here and said, we have a very unique situation where we have vaccinated people are being infected by those who are refusing to take the vaccine. And I found that amazing. They're openly admitting that it's not actually doing anything to prevent the supposed virus. It's just, they don't even care. It's like an intentional contradiction. It's like they're just trying to twist your mind up, screw you all up. It's utterly amazing. Take your vax, watch your porn, work your shitty job. Well, Bezos is in space. You see, it all balances out. See, the better the billionaires' lives get, the more shitty your life has to get so that it all stays in balance. Talking about billionaires, and you know, we talk a lot about understanding how the system works. You listen to this show, you listen to Radio Albion, you're going to have a pretty good clue that the democracy is not what they present it to everybody else. The democracy. You understand? Once you understand what the democracy really is, It's amazing to watch them, you know, dance and shuck and jive and feed this narrative to the people, and the people buy it, and people think they understand, but they don't understand it. And you wind up with the globalist quote unquote left and the globalist quote unquote right, the globalist liberals, the globalist liberal tools, and the globalist conservative tools. And these people don't even realize they're used as tools because they don't even understand the system that they live under. I mean, you think a perfect example of not understanding the system to live under and how it works, and they're shocked. You could be shocked by the outcome of this, is the globalist liberal stooges, and they thought that Obamacare meant healthcare for everybody. But you see, healthcare for everybody would mean actually doing something about the rising cost of healthcare. It's gone up, like, I saw a deal one time, is like since like 1991, 1992, the cost of healthcare has gone up something like 8% a year. And people think the problem is health insurance. These insurance corporations are getting rich, but they're raising their rates because they're trying to match the rising cost of healthcare. You see, that won't ever be tackled because that incorporates the big pharma corporations. But most of your hospitals are now owned by some corporation. Even if you live in a fairly small town, you go to the hospital, more than likely your hospital is like, if they allow you to pay something out, you're going to be mailing that shit out of state. It's owned by a corporation. So much of the healthcare industry has become a corporate conglomerate, just like everything else. But you see, the liberal globalist stooges, they thought that Obamacare meant healthcare was suddenly affordable, only discover it was just really shitty insurance. That's all it was. Didn't do anything to tackle the actual problem, which is the price of healthcare, because that would mean taking on the corporate oligarchy, the corporations that are getting filthy rich over the healthcare by raising it up 8% a year for years and years and years, compounded. It's just don't understand. Obamacare was going to save us. They don't get it. They don't get it because they don't understand how the system works. And globalist conservative stooges aren't any better. I mean, they just can't help it. They don't understand. They think that the voting, that the democracy, they're going to get this person in there and they're going to do this. I say, if you actually had democracy, and that's their term, that is their marketed term here, is of like our democracy. But if you actually had democracy, you would have a say in it, but you don't. Instead, we have this representative republic democracy thing, only they don't represent you. They pretend they represent you, but they never, ever actually represent you. They represent the healthcare corporations. They represent Wall Street. They represent the oligarchy. And speaking of the oligarchy, you have to understand, it's far be it for me to shill someone else's show, but it's really good. Dr. Johnson here on Radio Albion has done two shows on the Orthodox Nationalist on BlackRock. And it really, if you really want to bear down and start understanding the depth of the oligarchy, you need to watch those two shows in order. I recommend that highly, and you will have a better grasp of how big the oligarchy is. Because you talk to conservatives that think they get it, and you know, you say the oligarchy, and what are they going to spit out? George Soros, Bill Gates, Bezos, the oligarchy. Then, when you understand how entities, and there's other entities that are huge like this, when you understand how encompassing, how powerful an entity such as BlackRock is. You see, BlackRock could buy and sell Soros, Bezos, and Bill Gates like a sack of potatoes, like discount produce that's starting to mold. They put it out there on the cheap. You see, that's how powerful they are. Soros, have you ever thought about the fact that George Soros looks like a TV villain? You know, like a Bond movie villain. There's George Soros. I'll get you, boys. I mean, he's like this, but there's a reason for that. He's playing his role as like everything is TV. Everything is the movies. Because people have become so conditioned to that, that if they see something and they can identify it with a movie, they can internalize that. Look at George Soros. He looks like some sort of B-movie villain. George Soros, the hero George Soros. And people, oh, there he is, George Soros. That's who it is, George Soros. It definitely doesn't go any... If you only knew how bad it is. Bill Gates, you notice Bill Gates has kind of disappeared all of a sudden. It's like he was on TV like all the time. He was like number two on TV during this whole flu hoax thing. He was number two on TV next to Anthony Fauci. Bill Gates was out there telling everybody how you know, we're all going to do the great reset and what we need to do. Like he was a medical expert when he's not. You notice all of a sudden that must have been because I know, you know, they're constantly doing marketing research, polling data. Everything is marketing. Everything. They have to market the fake system to you, the democracy, our values. It's all fake. It's marketing. And since it's marketing, they're always doing focus groups and polls. And their focus groups and polls must have shown that Bill Gates wasn't selling real well. That wasn't working. All of a sudden, poof, it's like he's gone. It's like he's disappeared. You think Bill Gates is this all-powerful member of the oligarchy? Yeah, he's a member of the oligarchy, but he's like a low-tier member. It gets pushed around, too. And it's like, oh, Bill, it's like somebody reached out with one of those old stage canes, you know, like you see on the old Looney Tunes cartoons. My ragtime gal. And then you see the big hook come out on the stage and whoop, hook your ass off the stage. Somebody done hooked Bill Gates' ass off the stage. And now, poof, he's disappeared. You don't see him anymore. Congratulations, all of you in the UK. Boris Johnson said that you're not getting vaccine passports. But of course, then he turned right around and you're getting vaccine passports. They totally represent you. Vote harder. Keep voting harder. Yes. Getting the vaccine passports. I love how they're rolling. This is a globalist agenda. We talk about it being a globalist agenda, but it's an observable reality. You see, they know other places that they can roll out the agenda a little further ahead. You're getting the vaccine passports here. You're getting the vaccine passports over here. But they've got that lined up for everybody. And if you're in the U.S., it's there, goes, you bunch of losers, Frenchy frogs. Y'all getting vaccine passports. You are getting them here. Trust me, you are getting them here. It's just you're further back in line. Further back in line for the rollout. They'll be rolling that out soon enough. They got to get you conditioned to that. You see, they got to sell you first on this notion that the latest surge, the latest variant is because the unvaccinated people, they're the ones who have to be demonized. The unvaccinated are the ones who are infecting the vaccinated. We have all of these vaccinated people that are getting these horrible sickness. Well, the horrible sickness is the latest variant of the deadly virus. It's not from the vaccine. And the latest sickness is because you're being infected. The vaccinated are being infected by the unvaccinated. We have to play that out. To get this demonized. And so that the people, when you get re-locked down and everybody's outraged because they've been re-locked down. Why are we being locked down? It's because of these unvaccinated assholes. They're the reason. We didn't want to do it to you. But because of these unvaccinated people, what do we do? I shouldn't be locked down. I went and got my vaccine. I've got proof. You see, I have a penis growing out of my forehead. See this penis on my forehead? That's from the vaccine. I have my proof. Well, that's not enough proof. Like, you be like Rainbow Dildo Butt Monkey from the Daily Nationalist a couple weeks ago. You could be faking that. We see the gorilla tape. You're going to have a vaccine passport. The only way we can get unlocked down to stop these evil murderers that refuse to take the vaccine is to have a vaccine passport. They just got to line up the marketing. They got to give you the story to tell. It's all a movie. People don't realize how we've been conditioned. We've watched movies and TV shows our whole lives. Whole lives. I talked to her a while back about how, you know, way back in the day, you know, when TV started becoming a thing in everybody's homes, and some of the old timers like, you're inviting the devil into your house. And people laughed. Those old timers, they were stupid. No, they knew exactly what they were talking about. All these movies, TV, we have just, you know, I'm not young. And we were raised with TVs and movies our whole lives. And we've been conditioned, especially as children, you set that programming in your mind. Anything that happens to you when you're a child writes on this programming of who you are as an adult. And you think about it, we've been subjected to movies and TVs our whole entire lives. And so now we've come to relate because your brain just starts jumbling reality and these things you view, and your brain wasn't designed for watching movies and TV. Now we're conditioned to that. So everybody's been conditioned to that. So they present this stuff. Like I said earlier, look at George Soros. There's a reason he looks like a B-movie villain. Yeah, it's laughable. It's laughable. Jeff Bezos is the, you know, yeah, he's a billionaire, but look, he looks kind of likable and he's going to space. It's all marketing. You're all just background players. You know, you watch a show and like the main actors are walking down the street and you have all these people in the background, like wandering around, like they're shopping and talking and walking past them. But those are all actors. That's you. You're just a background character. That's why these people get off on social media, you know, and they like, especially like bitches, because they be doing like drama, you know, on social media. Because you see, social media gives people this chance to pretend like they're the star. They're the star of the movie, but you're not. You're just a background character. You're just the guy that's out of focus back there at the fruit stand pretending he's looking at apples. That's all you are. You're just the person way back there walking their dog down the sidewalk. You can't even, they're just like an image because they're not even in focus. You're not the star. You're just background characters in this movie they're presenting for everybody. Talking about like, you know, stooges, globalist liberals or globalist conservatives. And that's probably really not the, because I'm thinking about people that just, they don't really know any better, but they don't understand how the system works. They understand that it's not working for them. A good example of the conservative aspect of this. Be like the other day, I was driving along and I saw somebody, they still had their Trump flags out. I was like, whatever. But I mean, they have like this big flag and there's a picture of Trump and Trump. And I'm thinking after January 6th, when Trump left all those people out to dry, hanging out to dry, he could have issued a blanket pardon, didn't do that. Now those people are in jail, being tortured, they're being hunted down, they're being forced to plead guilty for protesting. He left a man. Why? I mean, really, screw that guy. I got no use for Trump. But yeah, you still have people clinging to this Trump thing. This Trump fantasy. Trump's our savior. Just don't get it. They can't process it. Now, another thing, you know, flip it over here. The globalist liberal side. And the liberal side that doesn't get it. I don't get it. You talk about Jeff Bezos. And the liberal side will say something. They'll point out how Jeff Bezos doesn't pay any taxes. Doesn't pay any taxes. Like, that's the problem. Not just simply the symptom. You know, because you know what I'm talking about? The globalist liberal stooge who doesn't understand how the system works, they act like if the government came in and taxed and actually forced Jeff Bezos to pay taxes, That would fix this rotten system. You see, the system is rotten because Bezos isn't paying enough taxes. You see, you wouldn't be a broke ass working a dead end shit job if Bezos was paying taxes. How would that translate? If the government came in and confiscated 50% of Bezos's wealth, what, are you going to get a raise? It's your shit tier job. So I mean, understanding how this works. People, even in our circles, people talk about the oligarchy, but they don't understand. They don't understand how far-reaching that is, how deep the tentacles are. It goes beyond these faces that they market to you, like Soros, Gates, Bezos, and the like. It goes beyond that. It's bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. It's way more powerful than that. Making Jeff Bezos pay more money is the fact that he doesn't pay taxes is a symptom. It's not the cure. It's not the cause. Not the cure. Well, if the government just forced him to pay taxes, then the rest of us wouldn't be broke. No, you would. It would just be funneled to a different part of the oligarchy that runs, actually is running this thing. It wouldn't fix anything. It's not going to make your life less shitty. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I worry sometimes I repeat this stuff because I don't remember. We're on show number 128. And you have to understand, all through the day, through the week, I think about things. And so then I come up and talk about them here on the show, and I'm like, have I done this on the show, or was I just been thinking about it? I don't know. So I have to apologize. If I wind up saying things like, yeah, you've told us that before, this is nothing new, I apologize for that. I don't even know. I'm not going to go back when I cover a topic. I'm not going to go back through 128 episodes and see if I offhandedly mentioned it once. But I think about all of the things that are the topic of the day, and setting aside the virus thing. I trust me, when y'all have that feeling of, oh, God, he's talking about the doom virus again. Trust me, I feel the same way talking about it because it's always so there. But there's other things because you have all this race insanity that they're ginning up and all of the rest of it hand in hand with it. The woke thing, the cancel culture thing, the wokeism. And you see all these stories and again, Normicon, the stooges for conservatives, the people, and they mean well. Whether I'm talking about liberals or conservatives in this, I really am not trying to be insulting because these poor people mean well. They just don't understand how the system works. And I hope, I really do, I hope this show can expand to the point where regular conservatives can listen to it and better grasp how the system works. And regular liberals can listen to it. And I'm not talking about hardcore communists because they're unreachable. Maybe. I don't know. But if people are going to understand, you know, because you got conservatives, if you're a conservative, you're in this mind that you think corporations strip mining the economy is a good thing because of a free market, you don't understand how the system works. If you're a liberal and you think that if the government would just take more money out, tax more money out, then it would fix the problem. You don't understand how the system even works. But anyway, you got one thing everybody's on about right now is this woke thing, this cancel culture. But you see, it all comes from Twitter. Virtually all of this shut it down woke culture nonsense that everybody's bitching about now, it comes from Twitter. And conservatives are all upset about it now because they're getting canceled. They're getting attacked. But you see, it never would have transpired if trolls were allowed to still be on Twitter. That's right. You remember back in the old troll days when we used to have fun trolling, saying these things, you know, because they would come up with this same stuff they do now, only it didn't work back then because trolls were on Twitter. The trolls served a purpose. Gold tier trolls, we served a purpose. Besides having fun and being entertaining and making it an entertaining platform, it served a purpose. See, these people couldn't push this woke agenda. And I don't even think we realized at the time that this was a part of a bigger push that was going to become this big push. They weren't ever able to get that off the ground because they would start this. Oh, look, we're outraged because we think we see a microaggression somewhere. And trolls would swarm in on their feed and point out how stupid they are and say, you know, outrageous things and post funny memes and, you know, you're a racist. And they would put up like pictures of laughing. We'd put up pictures of like laughing Hitler and stuff. And they didn't know how to do it. And it shut it down. It couldn't get off the ground. So, of course, all the trolls had to be banned from Twitter. We had to be banned. We had to be kicked off to be permabanned. Can never come back. never to come back. And the conservatives had no problem with that because those people are some kind of weirdo Nazis, and I don't understand their memes. They don't understand these memes they're making. And now they're all bitching because we have this cancel culture. We have this wokeism. Wokeism. Well, look, look, another conservative got fired from his job. They didn't care when the rest of us were getting fired from our jobs. Don't understand. Why is it? Where is it? We're getting shut down. People are getting fired from their jobs. Why? Because five people are outraged on Twitter. And that's the reality. They create this fake outrage thing. Like there's a whole bunch of them. But the only reason it seems like there's a whole bunch of them is because the counter to that has all been banned. Back in the day, they tried that and we would shut them down with funny memes and point out how stupid they were. Nobody took them seriously. They would always retreat behind a wall of blocking. I'm blocking this guy. He's an asshole. Boy, it's making me feel bad. But you see, to get this thing that they're bitching about now, this wokeism, this cancel culture wokeism, to have it now required that all the trolls had to be banned back then. But the conservatives didn't have a problem with that because these people are rude. They're saying outrageous things. They're saying forbidden words. They're already surrendering. Conservatives always are wind up. They don't know what to do. They never know how to do anything except be defensive. If they see somebody being on the offense, well, they're just being offensive and we can't have that. They're being offensive. We're conservatives. We're very defensive and we always lose. It's the hallmark of what we do as conservatives. We lose and we lose proudly. Same thing. You say the same thing. You got liberal feminists and now they find themselves canceled because they say something offensive about the tranny thing. Oh, can't have that. Now you're canceled. They were applauding when the trolls were being canceled because they're really assholes. They're ugly people saying things. Make me feel bad. Get them out of here. The agenda requires, he said, you look at it and you look at the things that came to pass. There was a real resistance building. And then the big setup of Charlottesville happened. And that was the end of that. It was the end of that. You know, the street protests. You see all these people. They just run wild in the streets. And normie conservative types try to have a protest. And these people show up. And while the police do nothing, they kick their ass. And then they're all, why is this happening? The turning point before Charlottesville. We had some momentum going. There was a counter to that, but say that had to be shut down in order to create this narrative, the scary Antifa narrative. See, they're very fearsome. And when that narrative couldn't get off the ground, when they would show up and the counter protesters would show up to them and basically kick their ass. It was funny at the time. See, that had to be shut down. And you got the Charlottesville thing. And again, when Charlottesville happened, the conservatives were like, well, they're Nazis. Look. Now the people in January 6th, they got the Charlottesville treatment. You see, the Charlottesville thing worked so well, they moved it up. Now you get the January 6th, quote unquote, the insurrection. The insurrection, the most dangerous insurrection, the most dangerous threat to our democracy. And these people are confused. These conservatives are confused. How did this happen? Charlottesville 2.0. You're getting the same treatment. You had no problem when it's happening to other people. You fell for it again. And those people are Nazis. Look at them walking around. They got tiki torches. Instead of just looking at and going, that's kind of funny. They're walking around with tiki torches. What the hell is that? Tiki torches. They're marching around to light the fires for the sixth. I don't know what that was even supposed to mean. But the point is that January 6th, quote-unquote insurrection in Charlottesville 2.0. It's the exact same playbook. It's literally the exact same playbook. And conservatives are just shocked. How could this happen? What does it mean? Trump could have issued a blanket pardon, but he didn't. Threw you under the bus, but keep flying those Trump flags. Keep talking about Trump this, Trump that. Trump is going to come back. Trump is really in charge. They mean well, whether I'm talking about liberals or conservatives. They mean well. I'm talking about just the run of the bill. But they don't understand how the system works. They don't understand. The system is not going to give you a liberal. The system is not going to give you a better job or affordable health care. They're going to continue to aid the oligarchy to strip mine what's left of the economy. And when you wind up eating bugs and living in a pod and having a shitty tier life, they're going to tell you that's the price that has to be paid to save the planet from the climate change. You're, as usual, you won't be expected to notice how the rich people are flying around in their jets or launching rockets up into the atmosphere so they can float around for 10 minutes. You're not supposed to notice that. Eat your bug paste, live in your pod, and understand that you're not going to own anything. But you're going to be happy. After all, you can turn on TV and watch billionaires go to space. See, it's all good. So, you're not getting those things. If you're a conservative, it doesn't matter how you vote. You're getting more homosexual agenda. That is lined up. You're getting more gay anal. You're getting more globo homo. Not less. It doesn't matter who you vote for. You're getting more globo homo. That's the way the system is set up to work. You're getting more of that. You won't be satisfied. Won't be satisfied till every male in the country is doing gay anal, I guess. I don't know. It's not going to end. It's not going to stop till the whole thing collapses on itself. This is so stupid. It really is. I said this last week, and I'm going to reiterate it too. One of the chief purposes of the show is to make sure you don't lose your shit. Because, I mean, this is insane. They're feeding you these constant contradictions. And they've been doing this for a long time. And it's a part of psychologically breaking you down. They're doing it on purpose. They're stupid. They're contradicting themselves. No, you have to understand that's what they do. As a white man, specifically, we are wired to try to fix problems. That's why we don't communicate well with women. Because a woman just wants to bitch. You know, she's like, oh, let me tell you about this. Blah, 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 blah. That's what it sounds like. But we listen to this. And then she gets mad because when she's all done, you say, well, what you need to do is, and you lay out how to fix it. And she's mad because she don't want to hear about how to fix it. She just wants you to listen to her cluck. You throw some grain out there, scratching around. But we can't help it. We're wired. We assume you're telling us this shit because you want us to figure out how to fix it. We always are trying to figure out how to fix it. That's why it's an attack. These contradictions are attack on your mind because your mind subconsciously will start trying to figure out how, you know, if you're going to fix something. I don't know if you've ever fixed anything in your life. Hopefully you have. The first step in fixing something, first you have to figure out how it works. You know, if you're looking at a machine that you've never messed with before and it's not working, it's broke. And you're going to figure out what's wrong with it so you can fix it. First thing you have to do is figure out how it works. You got to look at it. And go, okay, that does that. And that does that. That feeds that through there. And then that makes, oh, okay. Oh, well, let's see, the problem is it's not feeding through there. So let's look down here at the feeding through. Oh, look, this arm is broke. You have to figure out how things work so that you can figure out how to fix them. You see, the psychological attack on you is because with all of these contradictions, they feed this to you because your brain will subconsciously start trying to figure out how it works so you can fix it. Because we want to fix it, right? You want to fix your broken society. Why is it broken? They feed you these contradictions after contradictions after contradictions, and your brain just shorts out. It doesn't make any sense. You see, a machine makes sense. You can figure out, even if you've never messed with that particular machine before, you can figure it out. You can figure out why it does what it does, why it works, and then you can figure out how to fix it. They feed you the contradictions so that your brain cannot, your brain is trying to figure out how it works, but it doesn't work because it's a lie. It's a contradiction. They've been doing this for a long time. We see them openly promoting pedophilia, 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 pedophilia. They're promoting it like it's a good thing. Make no mistake, that's what this child training agenda is. It's the steps towards openly promoting pedophilia. Sexualizing children makes children sexual objects. This is the step towards pedophilia while they're openly promoting. And you see this. You can comprehend. Hey, these assholes are pushing pedophilia, aren't they? They're showing like 8-year-olds running around in a dress with makeup on. Homosexuals fawning over this little boy. Something like this is not totally normal. They're openly pushing. They're saying this is a good thing. Then they turn around. They turn around and they label some kind of sexual interaction with a teenage girl as pedophilia. You'll hear some story and people are like, he's a pedophile. Oh my gosh, really? Yes, disgusting ass pervert. What happened? He got caught with a 16-year-old girl. It's like, that's against the law. Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. But I mean, I'm a stickler for definitions here. That's not pedophilia. Let's get real. It's not pedophilia. I see that all the time. I do. I see that all the time. People say pedophilia, and you're like, okay, what happened? And it will involve some teenage girl. I'm going to get off on a tangent. We have these Amber Alerts here, and they'll send them out over your phone. And they came out. It was supposed to be like, you know, because it was named after this poor little girl. Poor little girl got abducted and killed by some disgusting pervert. An idea was they could send these alert out, and then you got everybody looking for this abducted child. But of course, it's been dumbed down now. They release them all the time, and it's for stupid shit. You get one. I got one here a while back, and I laughed because I said, I guarantee I know what this is. Amber Alert. Amber Alert. And I said, hold up the phone, you know, and I'm like, psychic. Ah, teenage girl that ran off with some guy on the internet. And 9 times out of 10, you get the Amber Alert. Is it this 7-year-old girl was abducted by a pervert? No, no. This 14-year-old girl, she ran off with a 20-year-old guy she met on the internet. I'm not saying that's a good thing. That should be happening. But I mean, come on. It's just not an abduction. It's a teenage girl that met some guy on the internet and they run off together. Don't be blowing up my phone with no bullshit Amber Alert because some teenage girl ran off with a guy she met on the internet. Don't care. It's a family problem. Anyway, and it's not pedophilia. But you see, they feed you this contradiction. They openly promote pedophilia here by literally sexualizing children, little kids. And then they'll turn around and say, oh my gosh, this 14-year-old girl was abducted by a pedophile. And it's like, wait, she's 14. We can't be talking pedophilia here. And she wasn't abducted. She ran off with some guy she met on the internet. She willingly snuck out the window and took off with this asshole. It's the contradictions. It's an attack on your brain. They've been doing this for a while, and they're continuing to do it. They're continuing to do it. They're continuing to give you these contradictions. You got to get the vaccine. You got to get the vaccine. You got to get the vaccine. The reason why you got to get the vaccine is because unvaccinated people are infecting the vaccinated people who are getting sick. And the reason they're getting sick is because unvaccinated people in your brain is going, wait. I thought the vaccine was supposed to keep me from getting sick. Thought that was the whole point. But the contradiction isn't because they're stupid. It's an attack. It's an attack on your mind. I'm looking at the clock. I got to wrap it up on that note. We got to get into the Christian specific segment sermon this week. It's going to be kind of a dank sermon. We're doing something different this week. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. It's time for the Christian specific segment to this week here at the Parish of the Patriots. So a few things before we get rolling off into this week's Christian specific segment. First off, we're doing something a little different. It seems like every week I say we're doing something a little different, but it's just the way it is, because we're always looking to do something that maybe actually helps people out. That's kind of the whole point of doing all this. One of the first things we need to put out there is if today in the Christian specific segment, we're going to be dealing with some really adult topics. So if you listen to this segment with your kids, this isn't going to be a child friendly. Like if you have teenage boys, it'll be okay. But I mean, if you listen with your small children, this isn't going to be, they're just going to have to pass this week. We'll talk about something else next week, I'm sure. But this week, it's going to be an adult type topic. It's going to be a very serious topic this week. Also, and I encourage you to listen to it. I mean, if you're a man, you need to listen to this week's Christian specific sermon this week. And your wife's sitting there looking like, why do you need to be listening to this? Because what we're going to cover is going to help in all sorts of areas. So I'm telling you, you have to listen. So when your wife's like, well, why are you having to listen? You're not getting involved in any of that. You can be like, well, because GPD told me I needed to listen, so that's why I'm listening. We're gonna really drill down, and we've touched on this before in shows past, and honestly, at some point in time, most people in the nationalist circles have written about or talked about this, and that is pornography. We're going into porn today, but no, we're going into porn. We're gonna rake in the big bucks. Trust me, nobody would pay big bucks for me to be in porn. No, but we're not just going to cover it the way that everybody generally covers it. Because the way, and this is why I thought we would do this week. Because generally when you say, oh, you need to talk about, somebody say, you need to talk about porn, or somebody writes about porn or talks about porn. When you get down to the end of the day, what happens is, it's really bad. Stop doing that. Thank you. I mean, you can do a whole show on it. But at the end of the day, what are you left with? It's really bad. Don't be doing it. In fact, if you're doing it, you're a loser. And there, thank you for listening today. That doesn't really help anybody. You know, the Bible says that if you see somebody that's hungry, if you see a brother that's hungry and you say, go and hunger no more, and you don't, and you have the means to feed them, then your faith and your deeds aren't working together and you're not doing what you should be doing. You know, your faith and deeds have to work together. If you have the ability to help that person and you don't, you just make a big grandstand of, oh, go and hunger no more, when you could have fed them and actually done something to alleviate their hunger, then your faith is empty. What we're going to do today, we're going to cover this in a different way, because we're going to go up with some step-by-step action that you could take. We're big on action here. Some actual step-by-step action to get you off of that. Okay. And the reason I said you need to listen to this, even if you don't have a problem with pornography, and by a problem, I mean you look at it at all. Not just like, well, I look at it once a week, I don't have a problem. No, if you're looking at it at all, it's a problem. We're going to get into why that is. Even if you don't ever, you know, it's like a non-issue. I think you'll get something out of it, because I think you could apply like the step-by-step mentality to things that you are dealing with. And if you're saying you have nothing you're dealing with in your life, then you're bullshitting yourself. Don't bother bullshitting the rest of us. And again, I know we have couples that listen to this show together. This isn't about the wife, girlfriend, whatever, looking at him going, are you doing porn? No, baby, this isn't what that's about. You need to listen, because again, we're going to go step by step. Because sitting here, like if you walked up on somebody strung out on heroin in the street and you said, man, you're a loser, quit doing heroin, and walked off, well, that doesn't really help them much. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just true. You know, telling them that's really bad for you, I mean, that's true. But what's that do to help? It doesn't actually help that person. We're gonna do this today in an effort. Actually, we're using pornography, but you could take this step by step approach, I think, to other things that you could be dealing with. So hopefully this will help a lot of people. So let's drill down on it. Let's drill down on porn and what you can do to get off of it. Get it out of your life completely. And one of the first things I think it's important is to recognize it for what it is. And what I mean by that is, I believe pornography is one of the most destructive sins you can commit. I don't want to use the term worst sins you can commit, because then people get into, oh yeah, well, what about murder? What about rape? What about this? What about that? It's one of the most destructive. It's one of the worst sins you can commit because it is self-destructive. Well, why is that? Well, because let's say you go and steal something. That's a sin. You know, you go and you steal something, but it's externalized. Most sin is externalized. I mean, you kind of wind up dragging it around with you, but for the most part, it's externalized. If you think of sin as shit or sewage, you know, in the septic tank, and depending on how much sin you're living in, determines how much shit you're wading through. You know, I mean, if you live a pretty upright life, but, you know, I mean, let's be honest, nobody's without sin. And, you know, you sin, it's like you step in the shit, you know, and it's like, oh, you realize, oh man, I stepped in shit. And you're like wiping that off your foot, you know, whether you have a shoe on or you're barefoot kind of depends on the nature of what you got off into. And like if you're leading a really sinful life, you're wading off into the shit waist deep into the stinky sewage. You know, if you've ever pumped your septic tank and you pump the black tank and it like it's nasty and stinky. Well, imagine wading off into that waist deep because you're leading a really sinful life. Now, what sets pornography apart from these other sins is because you internalize it. See, if like you're a thief, and I can't stand thieving. It's something I can't stand thieving. But say you're a thief, it's still you're waiting around in the ship. See, pornography, you intake it. You take it into yourself. Yes, with pornography, you're not just waiting around in the sewage, you're drinking it. You're eating the shit. And you can't undo that because it just, you've internalized it. These other sins are external. See, pornography is dangerous and destructive because you actually internalize it. You view it. Your mind soaks it up. I think it's way worse than sex with a prostitute. Again, we're talking adult subjects today, and I can't pussyfoot around this shit. I can't sit here and try to make it, you know, sound Disney for you. We're covering real topics today. We're trying to get somewhere where you people can get off of this, to get away from and finally get free from it. And then you can look at it and be like, wow, I didn't realize how much that was screwing me up. I didn't think it was affecting me at all, but it is. Trust me, it is. So first step, you got to recognize it for what it is. You need to understand it for what it is to take these next steps so you can start getting set. Because as you get further and further away from it, it'll become more and more clear. Well, how disgusting is that? We talk a lot here on this show about how all of this stuff we see in this world, this clown world we're going through, it is a spiritual battle. One of the things that makes you, like, let's talk about the vaccine for just a second. Yes, this has something to do with what we're talking about. One of the things that makes you suspicious, just on a instinctual level about the vaccine, is you have these pharmaceutical companies and they're making billions off of it, and yet it's free. I mean, Joe Biden, they pushed him out there the other day and he was saying something like, go get it. The shot will keep you safe. The shot will keep you from dying. And it's free. Now, the fact that they're pushing so hard for this vaccine, but yet it's free. Well, it's so important. It's going to save your life. It's going to save the world. It's going to eventually make it to where you get your freedoms back, maybe someday. And it's absolutely free. I mean, if somebody walks up to you at random and says, man, you know, I've got $1 million plus a new car and whatever the hell, your big fancy house, and it's yours. It could be yours all for free. You're probably going to walk off because you're going to be like, this is a scam. It's a scam. Why would you give me that for free? But see, you think about this. The pornography. They spend all of this money producing it. All this money is spent producing it. All of this money, they pay the people to perform, as it were, in this pornography. They spend all this millions of dollars. And it's free. It's free. This isn't like, you know, back in the day, like when I was junior high, you know, we'd like go to a sleepover at a friend's house. There'd be like several of us, you know, and we'd stay at this friend's house because like he had found and raided his dad's Playboy collection. Raided his dad's Playboy collection. And we're like, dun, dun, dun. It's like we had found the gold because that was the only access to pornography back in the day. And of course, you look at the clown tier level of pornography that we have today, and it's like Playboy is looks like, I don't know, My Little Princess or something. But you know, this isn't that, because like somebody had, you had to buy it. You know, you had to go, somebody had to go buy this shit. And then once they bought it, then maybe you could raid your dad's collection of it. But the point here is, these aren't those days. It's readily available. It is, I don't know. You hear about people and it's like, you know, oh, well, their credit card information got stolen because, you know, or something because of this porn site. And I'm thinking, who the hell pays for porn? You can get every sort of degenerate form of pornography you want, and it's all absolutely free. Doesn't that raise some alarm bells for you? They spend all of this money producing it. They spend all of this money, you know, paying people to be in them. And yeah, it's all absolutely free. How do people not understand this is a spiritual battle? Why would they do that? If this isn't a spiritual battle, why would they go to all of this trouble and spend all of this money to give it to you? Absolutely free. Absolutely free. So, understand, it's being given to you absolutely free because it's destroying your soul. You are internalizing this and destroying your soul. One of the ways in which it's more destructive than drug addiction is because it's so readily available. What gets you addicted is all these chemicals your own brain releases. I mean, a heroin addict, for instance, I mean, they may be strung out, and jacked up on heroin, but they got to go buy it. I mean, they don't just have it laying around. At some point, they got to go buy some. You see, with the pornography, your brain is releasing these chemicals and they're readily available. It's free. You just got to get yourself, you got to get your brain to release them. And then you get your brain to release it viewing this pornography. Here's the trick, though. Like the heroin addict that has to take a stronger and stronger dose, the longer you stay on this pornography, you have to look at more and more extreme examples of it to get that same rush, to get that same hit. And you will find yourself, you're going to find yourself looking at stuff you thought you would never look at. And then even afterward, you'd be like, why was I looking at that? Because you have to look at a more and more disgusting example to get that same punch, to get your brain to release those chemicals, give you that same high. It's really a whole lot like drug addiction. And it's absolutely disgusting. It's offered for free. It's free. Just keep on keeping on. That is maybe all well and good, but how to, you know, recognize, that's the first step. You have to recognize it for what it is. Quit bullshitting yourself. Recognize the problem for what it is and why it's a problem. Now, a lot of people have done that. I mean, we've touched on this show before. Like I said, any number of people have talked about pornography. And essentially, we haven't really laid out too much new about it. But the problem is, most of the time when it gets talked about, it stops here. You know, you might get some deal about, you know, here's this graph. A study was done. It shows it rewires your brain and makes it to where you can't have actual sex. Well, you're probably not having an actual sex anyway. That's why you're watching porn all the time. It's our screwed up topsy-turvy world. Nobody's having sex. People are all sitting around looking at porn, masturbating. But most of the time, we get about to this point that we've hit here, and that's the end of the story. That's where everybody stops. And the person that is hooked on this is sitting here going, well, okay, yeah, I recognize it, okay. But they fall right back into it because there's no pathway out. We're going to keep going with it because I think we can take a step-by-step, put some thought into this. I think we can take a step-by-step approach and get you away from this. So how do you do this? So, okay, you recognize now that this is problematic. You recognize even how it's an attack on your soul, how you're internalizing, you're eating shit. That's really what it is. You're eating worse than any other kind of sin in the sense that you're actually internalizing because you visualize, you're watching this, and your brain gets tricked because you're internalizing it. You view it, you soak it in, you're fantasizing about it, and mentally, you think you're somehow partaking in this. But you're not, but you're just taking in the poison. You're just internalizing it. So once you recognize it, okay, now what? Now what do you do? How do you get out of it? Well, you get out of it just like you get out of anything else. You start walking away from it, taking a step by step. And understand, every step of the way, you also need to be coupling this with other things you're doing. Your life doesn't stop. It's like your life is not on hold till you get this fixed. Go on and keep trying to do the right thing in other areas of your life because that will help you get away from this. Continue in your faith. Continue in your prayer. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to try to do the right thing everywhere else. This doesn't negate. No sin negates the good things you're trying to do. It doesn't like cancel each other out. Because Satan would love for you to just be paralyzed in place and be like, well, until I fix this, then I can't do anything. Yeah, you know, don't let sin have that kind of power over you. Okay, so you're still doing, you know, you're trying to do the right thing. You're still doing your faith and your prayer. So what's some other steps you can do? You got to wean yourself off of this. I don't think if you can just walk away and never look at it again, that's great. But I suspect you're probably going to fail with that approach. So the next step. Stop the movies, okay? Because generally when we talk about porn, we're thinking about films. We're talking about adult films. And I don't know, you'd be looking at some way the hell far out there stuff. You might be looking at something fairly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Stop the videos. Stop watching the adult videos. That's your first step. This is why people don't want to talk about this, because you have to say uncomfortable things. But we got to be real. again, this is about getting people off of this. I think this is one of the most destructive forces in our society. When you say, why are people so brain dead? Why do these men walking around and they have like this glazed look on their face? And where's people's backbone? How come nobody's, you know, standing up for the truth or speaking the truth? And I think this is one of the reasons. It is so permeated our society. This is one of the things that has really spiritually neutered men. And this is a very adult topic we're covering today. It's an uncomfortable. I'm not enjoying talking about it. It's making me feel disgusting just talking about it, but it has to be done. The point here is getting people off of it. Stop the videos. You can allow yourself to look at pictures. Just look at images of attractive women naked. Okay. Bear with me on this. This isn't about virtue signaling. First step you need to do is quit watching the videos. Allow yourself the images. Just stop the videos. You see, this is about a step-by-step process. Stop the videos. You got to wean yourself off of that. Because if you're addicted to porn, your brain is addicted. The real addiction is that chemical release. And you've got to start getting yourself weaned off of that. It is literally like a drug addiction. In all seriousness, it's literally going to be like a drug addiction for you. Wean yourself off. Quit watching the videos. You can look at images, but stop the videos. And after you have managed to do that a while, and you're pretty confident that, you know, you're not even tempted. After a while, when you're not even tempted to look at the videos, but you're still regularly looking at these images, then you need to wean yourself off of the images and start looking at images of attractive women with their clothes on. You leave your safe search at full mode. Look at pictures of attractive women with their clothes on. Now, you're... women listening to this today are like, what the hell goes on with you guys? What the hell goes on? But you see, men are driven by we're not wired like you. We're different. Men are driven by these urges, and they're visually oriented. That's why you have this whole visual thing. If you're a woman, you're not going to understand this. This is all sounds like foreign gibberish. It sounds like there's something hell wrong with you guys. And just men are wired different. That visual stimulation, that's why, and this driven urge for sex. So... get yourself weaned in. You see how we're taking a step-by-step approach at this? You wean yourself off those videos first, because that's the most toxic. It really is. That is the absolute most toxic thing, are the videos. Get yourself weaned off of that. And the way you're going to do that is by looking at just simple images. You're kind of going backwards now. You're going backwards to the old Playboy days. Now you're just looking at the pictures. But then you get yourself weaned off of that by pictures of women with their clothes on. You see how you're walking away from it now. You're getting it under control step by step. And finally, you don't allow yourself to look at images at all. And what that's going to do, I believe, is it'll bring you to a point. Now, you may, because you're probably still not going to be having sex, you may still be masturbating. But you see, you're not giving yourself that visual stimulation. And it will break that final hold on you, because you see, without the visual stimulation, the masturbation suddenly, instead of being this thing, because when you're hooked on that pornography, you're being like driven to it. You're like maybe trying to resist it, but you just keep getting sick. It has this power over you. But see, now that you've weaned yourself off of that, you may be masturbating still, because again, men are just driven by these urges. Can't be helped. Being real here. You're not going to get this talk anywhere else, because it's an uncomfortable talk. Trust me, I'm uncomfortable having to talk to you about it. But I think it's important. If we can help somebody, that's what's important. And I think getting people off of this is one of the most important things we can do. They obviously think it's important because they're giving it to you for free. They're spending millions on it, and they're giving it to you for free. So they think it's important in destroying your soul. I think it's important to have an uncomfortable conversation and talk about getting people off of it. What'll happen is you break that power over you. Once you've weaned yourself off step by step, you took yourself off first the worst stuff, the videos, and then the images. And then finally, the the images that you basically just pictures of women. And now you're forcing yourself when you do this to not have any images, no visual stimulation at all. And what's going to happen is you may still be masturbating, but it's basically just relieving these urges. You basically, it's like going and taking a big dump. You just got to go. It's not going to have this magic power over you any longer. You will get free. Everybody has done a talk or written about porn and how you need to get off of it. But again, I don't recall ever seeing anybody tackle, well, okay, how does somebody do that? It's fine and good to virtue signal and say that's bad and you shouldn't be doing it, but it doesn't actually help anybody. And the hope here is by laying out some real steps, or sitting here and thinking of some real concrete steps that you can take to get off of this. I think that matters. Again, this has been an uncomfortable conversation. I don't like talking about this sort of thing. It's not my goal to be shocking or provocative here by talking about this. It makes me feel dirty having to sit here and discuss it. But we got people, a lot of people that are stuck with this in their lives. And it doesn't do any good to sit here and say, quit doing that and not say, okay, well, how do you make that happen? If this is spiritual poison, and I do believe it is, I believe it poisons your very spirit, poisons your very soul. Does it do any good to sit here and simply say, oh, well, get better, quit. I hope you can get better, get over this poison. Or should we try to figure out some sort of way to treat the patient, to give them some sort of antidote, to try to figure out how they're getting the poison into their soul and to start eliminating that? We've got to detox our people. How are you marching out with an army and your army's all been poisoned? They all have a disease. They poisoned the food supply. The enemy poisoned the food supply. And your army that's supposed to be resisting the enemy's advance, they're all laid up because they're sick. Because the food supply has been poisoned. You got to find where the poison is. You got to eliminate that poison. We got too many people poisoned. We got to tackle this. We got to figure it out. You can't go to the battlefield with poisoned troops. This is why I think having this discussion is very, very important. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. Hopefully you didn't get anything out of it, because hopefully you're not struggling with anything and your life is perfect. But if that's not the case, I hope you did get something. Whether you're actually dealing with pornography and trying to get it out of your life, or whether it's another sin, again, I think the step-by-step approach maybe give you some ideas how to get out of that. But for sure, we need to get our people off pornography, and we need to figure out a way to do that. And maybe what we've come up with today and covered today can help our people to start to do that. And again, if this doesn't apply to you and I didn't get anything out of it, well, it's not all about you. Because you look all across this country, you look all across, and our people are poisoned. We got to try to figure a way to get them healthy again. So like I said, we're going to wrap up on that note. Thank you once again, all of those of you who are not shy and pay your tithes. All your financial support is very much appreciated. And another reminder, I am on with Sir Longshanks every Friday on the Daily Nationalist. That's always a fun discussion. And of course, you can catch us here next Tuesday for the next installment of The Parish of the Patriots.